Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
But just literally 2 minutes ago when we were back there, we had a little conversation. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the beginning of this show.
Let's get into it.
What did you say? What did you say about the beginning of
the show? Let's get into it!
You said
they're sick of just bullshit at the top. Let's get into it!
And yet here we are, talking about
about a haircut Ben once had in 2005.
Make 100 mistakes and make 100 more. But don't worry, cause that's what time travel's for. You can always go back
and try again.
And if you go back
and kill your friends,
you can always go back
an extra few seconds.
You can always go back.
Winding! A laconic path around the foot of the Ballinock Mountains is the region of dense woodlands known to the people of Laroon's Landing as Valaki Gorge. The heat bouncing off the mountain seems singularly focused and trapped under the dense canopy, and greatcoats and other outerwear are quickly discarded as the four of you push deeper and deeper into the jungle with your new guide, Byron Indrirval. The Dragon Friend's mission: find a red dragon egg that it might power the cold cell engines of magical sleep that have been designed to ferry you back 970 years to your own time, the Third Age, and your home. And once again, hello to any new fans of the podcast that are listening today. In the Third Age, the gorge is of course nothing more than a barren ravine, so it is startling to see it so vibrant. If anything, the plants here are too healthy, groaning, swollen, and garishly coloured, dripping with sticky and potent saps.
Oh, dude, I hate these horny plants, Dave. No, I hate them.
Why'd you make the plants so horny, Dave?
Dave's got a horrible little stiffy for the
everything. Everything is
the plants have huge titties. heavy with milk.
Oh, please milk my titty flowers, Papa Dave.
Is that what you're thinking?
No,
you sick freak.
You disgust.
Are you going to sit on this stage at the Sydney Comedy Store and say, "Please milk my titty flowers, Dave"? Is that what you're going to say?
It's disgusting.
These people who just want nothing more but some non-filthy world.
It's a genre convention.
We said that we should get going.
It's an overripe. Something has corrupted the nature.
Like a big boner?
No, it's like a magic. It's like Pandora in Avatar. It's that kind of
not horny at all.
Hyper vibrant.
Let's touch ponytails together. Ooh.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. No, but it's like it's
none of this stuff was in the notes when we discussed
buzzing
it.
And humid. Oh,
we wrote
and
a nice
sticky.
We wrote a nice story
and
then
engorged.
You put plant stiffies in there.
Dave,
yeah.
If we're in Pandora, and
no, I didn't say that.
If this is Avatar,
you can't start with a premise that is a lie. I didn't say that.
If we're in Avatar, Dave, and this all means we're all sexy blue creatures now.
Oh yeah.
Feel free to reimagine that. But also, does that mean what's the unobtainium? I guess the dragon egg is the unobtainium. Is that how that works?
If you're going to just make these decisions, I don't have to be here.
Unobtainium, Dave?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I mean, if we're in Pandora and we're buying like a charm for our niece.
There are howls, chitters, and other noises coming from deeper in the gorge too.
Did he say jizzes?
Chitters,
yes, howls, and jizzes.
We flew you. We flew you here from Melbourne because you're meant to be on my side. They don't need your help bullying me, Scott. Thank you very much to Scott Edgar from Tripod coming here to ruin my life.
Look, we've been really unproductive so far, and I think we would really be able to help you out by making some soundscapes to help you with your world building.
Sure.
I'd just like to offer all of the dragons.
All right,
of
course. Dripping with sticky and potent saps. There are howls. Chitters. And other noises.
Curse Blutch.
Coming from deeper in the gorge too. Noises that sound uncomfortably familiar and yet utterly, utterly alien. If Byron, your guide, shares your growing concerns, he is keeping them to himself. At least, that is, until you come across the eviscerated corpse of a gigantic wolf spider splayed out on the path in front of you.
Tell us about... Is now a wolf spider. What is it, what are we looking at here? Is it a spider with the head and the teeth?
Well, there is just a normal wolf spider.
No, there is.
Like this big.
But in Dungeons & Dragons, a wolf spider is actually... It's a medium-sized...
On Pandora.
World building, please.
It's the size of a large dog. But imagine it.
It would be so funny if this riff ended up with us getting sued by James Cameron.
Come at me, man! I'll win, and I'll get you submarine.
Could we make it a wolf with eight legs? Because
this is where I was going because I said everything here is mutated and strange.
Yes.
It's the size of a large dog. It has eight spider's legs. It also has three wolf legs, and it has one large, full-sized, and one small vestigial wolf's head.
So it has 11 legs
and 23 eyes. It is bloated, it is disemboweled, dragged along the path and slightly charred, and Byron does not look thrilled to see it.
Oh, gosh. Oofy, guys.
So your last character's catchphrase was hooly dooly.
My last character's catchphrase was hooly dooly, and they're all... And also, these characters are related, so it actually is kind of makes sense. It was kind of a loving homage before you decided to be a prick about it. In front of all these people.
Oofy doofy.
Oofy doofy, son. Dave.
Oofy doofy.
Yeah, Dad?
Byron. Oh, good. We're cool. You're calling me Dad.
I don't have to if you don't.
Don't. Never stop.
Do you want us to call you Dad? Daddy?
Daddy.
Yeah, okay.
Daddy.
Look, I shouldn't like it, but I do. what are you? You ever seen something like that before, son?
I've seen something like that, but not looking in that state before. There are weird animals out this far. But guys, look, whatever did that, it's not mucking around.
He's not talking about the mutation. He's talking about the disemboweling and the burning.
Yeah, that's not mucking around, guys. That's not here for a haircut. You know what I mean? That's not,
What do you mean?
I just mean, you know, you guys are adventurers. You guys have done your share of mortal combat with beasties and whatnot. As have I, obviously. But this doesn't freak you out at all, does it?
Is this a dragon has done this?
I mean, look, when you see stuff that's torn up and then burnt, I mean, path of least resistance in terms of the brain goes to dragon.
Yeah, because we are on the hunt for a dragon egg.
Yeah, I
think this is... But it does look like it wasn't here for a haircut. Just looks like he needed to fuck some wolf spiders, I think is what it was here
for. That's good.
Byron draws his very his very short sword and he... No!
Well,
supposed to be on my side too! I established this in the last episode. He has a very short sword, and he uses it to poke at the foliage.
Do it again, says one of the leaves.
And he pokes at the foliage.
And, do it again.
He pushes some leaves aside, and you can see that there are tracks leading off the path into the undergrowth.
This far from Laroon's Landing, the forest gets pretty horny.
that's a technical ranger term.
Yeah, it does.
What's caused that?
Oh, I mean, you know, there's...
Is it a curse?
No one really knows about the fallout. Obviously, before my time, seemed to happen around the time of the fall of Netheril, but...
So that giant city in the sky fell... to this forest and made there and everything turned horny overnight.
So you saw Laroon's Landing, which is the crashed remains of Island Eye. That's correct. And it is already being reclaimed at the edge of the jungle of Valaki Gorge. And everywhere around here seems to sort of be being in a state of verdant transformation.
Yeah, real horny.
Hey, Byron, thinking about this creature here, it looks like its mummy might have been a wolf and its daddy might have been a spider, and you can see they're kind of they're kind of mixed together, you know, into one creature. Kind of like you.
I mean, that... that's... Why? Are you explaining breeding to me?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was... I just thought this was a good example of how you came into the world.
I mean, I know how that works, Dad.
Again, he's 25.
Yeah. I just thought...
I've seen 25 moons, Dad. bearing in mind that I only look at one moon one every year, so yeah. That makes me 25 years old.
Well, look, I'm just trying to... Look, what do you... Look, here, let's walk and talk.
All right.
So, what are you learning about in school?
I'm 25.
Okay, right. No. Okay, that's...
Paston is sweating, but not because of the jungle.
What do you think when you finish? Do you think you? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, Mum always wanted me to be a scientist like her, and I've.
I mean, really?
Well, what's wrong with being a scientist?
I mean, it's great to be a scientist, but you're half me. Come on.
Well, I was thinking that maybe, I could be an adventurist or something. But there's not a lot of...
Well, adventuring. I could tell you something about that.
Yeah, could you?
Yeah, you just... It just keeps happening. You know, you're just there and bam! You're falling through space, falling through time. You're inside something, you're outside of something.
Do you ever get scared, Dad?
Never. And then you're a dad.
And with that horrifying insight, let the fantasy camera drift forward through the party to the figures of Bobby Pancake and Friezo, who have taken up the lead. Friezo, of course, the once high elf, now human, warlock, who are leading the way into the jungle. And I need for you both, as you go, to just make for me quickly some perception checks, because you're at the front.
Ooh, it's a net 20, babe. Ooh. I mean, Dave.
That's the equivalent of calling your teacher mum.
Imagine calling your teacher babe. That would be worse.
Whoa.
Okay.
I got a hot 4.
Okay, well, you guys are leading the way. I might come in with the answers to those roles, but for now, you have a moment together.
God, this jungle, super horny, hey?
Yeah, I am feeling the effects, I'll be honest.
Wait, no, I said the jungle is horny.
Yeah, and...
And it's making you...
Well, doesn't horny stuff make you horny?
No.
So what does it do to you?
Makes me scared.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean? So you see... Just say you come across two people doing it.
Yeah.
You're gonna be like, oh, me too, please. No.
Well, no, I won't presume to...
No, of course not. But you'd get all turgid or whatever downstairs. Not me.
Turgid?
Is that not what that word means?
No, it is.
It is?
Unfortunately, it is.
Yeah, okay. Because if I saw two people doing it...
Yeah?
I'm running. I'm sprinting.
Can I ask you a question? When you wank, which famously you have...
A while. I haven't been in the hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah, but what are you thinking about, if not something horny?
Sort of just white space.
So nothingness, the freedom of the void.
Yeah, it's sort of a blank void, it's like an empty, imagine you were transported into a sort of a purgatory of sorts.
Have you seen the end of 2001 A Space Odyssey, where you're floating in the brilliant majesty of the cosmos and then rearing over a planet as a giant baby?
So you better not come there, because that's, I'm cool. Or is that how the baby got there in the first place? Just doing it into the void.
Hey, Filge. What do you think about this jungle?
Very sexy jungle. Me just sitting down having a pretty spicy conversation with this flower, actually. I talk, it blinks its big, flowery, nectary eyelashes at me. Me think we got something going on.
Damn. You gonna take the flower with you?
No, I think I'm gonna let the flower take me. Too horny. Let's get out of this horny jungle.
Unfortunately,
we don't like it here anymore.
You made your own bed, because actually what you're saying is interesting, because you rolled a 20, did you, for your perception check?
That's right.
You turn around and you have a look at this plant. That
the one I'm looking at?
Filge is looking at.
Oh, my.
It's a huge bulbous, like a...
Did you say bulbous or bulbous?
Oh. You know, like a sort of
flytrap, a Venus flytrap. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But this one is sort of, again, like everything else here, it sort of stinks of sap.
And fuck it has, me, Seymour.
And it has... That's not a line from that musical. And it has five purple frond vines coming off it. And as Filge looks at it, it sort of turns and suddenly a gaping maw opens up at the plant. And
you fellas see that gaping maw?
A cloud of pollen seems to envelop Filge and you get a sudden sense that Filge is in great peril. But you rolled a 20, so I'll give you a chance to act if you want.
I'm going to put my collar up over my nose and just...
Get out your short sword.
No, can I vault up to Filge and cover her mouth and nose?
You're gonna try? Yeah, absolutely. All right, make for me very quickly a dexterity check.
That is a 24.
All right,
excuse me, Dave.
Yes.
If I believe that this plant and I are having a moment, would I not reject?
I don't
Bobby's
know.
Advances.
Oh, that's a good point.
If I thought he was cock blocking me.
I have to say that as a dungeon master, I misread the scene. But if that's what's happening, then I'm sorry, Bobby. But as you dive forward towards Filge, Filge with a practiced hand just places a meaty palm in your face. You go into it and you go down immediately into the muck. Unfortunately, as a result, the scarf or collar around your neck is. Falls off and you take in a big breath of pollen as we go immediately into combat because the body taker plant is already spitting its murderous pollen on all of
body you. Body taker plant? Son, you should have told me it was called a body taker plant.
Now, the rest of you are still a few ways down the track, but Bobby Pancakes, you are up first, already in the muck, prone on the ground. You can have a quick action if you want.
Okay, I'm going to slice at its roots.
Okay.
Ooh.
So that's a 26.
26 will hit.
Okay. That's 12 damage.
12 damage, right. The damage doesn't seem to do very much. It's a plant. It doesn't, this kind of lashing into it is not doing that much damage. Sap is going everywhere all over your luck blade. And everything is looking disgusting and awful and wet and hot. And I'm sorry, I don't know why I set the adventure here, but we're just going to have to go with it. Friezo.
I'm going to run towards the plant and then cast Burning Hands on it.
Great. All right.
It's got to make a dexterity saving throw, but it's a plant, so it can't move, Dave.
Absolutely.
But am I not sort of wrapped up in the plant?
Well, I was going to say, Bobby's in front of the plant. Filge is right in front of the plant.
Yeah, so I'm doing it from an angle that's not going to attack them.
No,
so
hang on. No, it's a cone.
I do it in the perfect way.
Yeah, no, because I said I was going up and just placing my hands
you
on
have
them.
I don't mean to Sophie's choice you, but you're going to have to pick if it hits Filge or if it hits Bobby.
Is that what that movie was about?
You're setting a child on fire.
I will. Who's
I can
got,
take
who's
it.
Got more
and
hit
you're
points?
Not allowed to roll.
Probably Filge. I'll hit Filge.
Yeah, burn right. Filge up.
So I'll do my rolls.
3d6, is that right?
It's 3d8, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Okay, that's a lot of damage.
Yep.
That's 22 damage.
22 damage. All right. This hurts the plant. It rears back. The pollen seems to, fire bursts in the air also erupt into flame. It's all highly flammable. You unfortunately take...
No, Alex can do a...
You can do a dexterity save to take half.
Saving throw?
21.
You take half that damage. You take 11 points of damage. You try to roll out of the way. Baston, you take your action running forward, but it's now time for the plant to attack. And from the center of its maw, a vine snakes out.
Oh, yuck.
And
a turgid vine?
A turgid vine, but it goes for you, Bobby.
Yeah.
And I just need to make a quick roll. Plus 726 will hit. It hits you, and you are grappled. Make for me an acrobatics check. DC 15 as you try to break free.
I make it.
Okay, and you manage to duck away from the vine at the last second. You do, however, take the damage, which means that you take 9 points of damage. Ooh. And Filge, you are up.
And how am I feeling? What kind of effects am I feeling being in the sort of midst of this plant?
Lightheaded, but you don't need to roll anything just yet. But you don't feel great.
Do I know that this is a bad plant, or do I still think I'm having sexy times with the plant with the nice eyes?
Well, I reckon you have a fucking inkling.
It's just... it's
because so far the only damage I've taken is from my friend Friezo.
Oh, that's true.
was collateral damage.
I was just minding my own business. I didn't want to make a big show about it. And then all my friends came and harshing my buzz.
Okay, I want you to just act however Phil should act. So whatever reaction you think is fair.
She yells at them, "Get your own!" And then what would happen if I tried to grab one of the vines of the body taker plant?
Oh, you're going to try and grab one? Make a dexterity check for me.
That's a 4.
Okay.
Never done it before.
You dive into the mouth trying to grab a vine leaf. It spins around, making an opportunity attack against you.
Is Byron watching this?
Byron will come in a second. Okay. He's just arriving, actually, and is just there in time to see Filge reach in.
He shouts, "Don't do that!"
And as he does, you see something glittering just beyond the vine. It looks like a old, twisted staff, as if carved by an artisan woodcarver. You reach in to try and get the vine, and the more bites and swallows Filge whole. Filge disappears inside the plants.
And Byron says, that's why I said don't do that. That's what I was worried about.
That reminds me of the night you were conceived, my son.
Okay. Bobby, you're up. Filge is now trapped inside the plant. And Filge, by the way, you need to take acid damage as well. You take, oh God, quite a lot actually. 26 acid damage. So you're on the side of the tracks that you're leading.
Don't
in.
You have an explode spell or anything?
Nah.
Oh, come on, man.
Fire seemed to be very effective.
Yeah, I have a tinderbox. I guess I can start sparking a bunch of dry twigs.
1 hour
How dry is the vegetation in the...
it's got sap everywhere. Sap's everywhere.
Are there any eucalypts?
No, is the mouth... like? Can I like jam a sword in and try to pry it open?
Yeah, make a strength check for me.
All right, that's natural 20.
Ooh.
Oh.
Bobby reaches in, two hands pour deep into the sappy maw of this creature and pulls Filge out with strength that we did not know Bobby Pancakes has. Bobby reaches
it's
in.
It's like when a mum can lift a car off a toddler.
And pulls the half-orc barbarian Filge out of the plant, which also takes some damage, and Friezo is behind them, ready to act.
I will now... Wait, Dave, who's in my cone of burning
hands? Well, now everyone is, because Byron's there.
Interesting. Everyone, you say. No. Dave, can't do that. What about if I fireball? That'd probably kill some people as well, wouldn't it? Here's the thing with fire, though. You can't...
It's not a precision weapon, is it?
No, it's really not. I guess I will... Oh. What if I just cast Polymorph on it?
Oh, you haven't done that before.
No, I've got a new spell. It's called Polymorph. It transforms a creature. Is it a creature? Does it count as a creature?
Oh, it's a plant. Yeah, it's a creature, sure.
All right. With at least one hit point that you can see within range.
It has one hit point.
Into a new form.
Okay, well...
An unwilling creature must make a wisdom saving throw. Is it willing or unwilling, Dave?
It has very bad wisdom, and it rolls an 8. So yeah, I guess it works, which I guess means that you can choose a new form for the plant.
Pick aloe vera here.
Ooh. Or an iPad. Free iPad.
Ooh, another hand.
Yeah. What was your suggestion?
Another hand.
No.
I'll go with iPad.
Yeah, what about a bigger iPad. Version of the plant?
Can I go with iPad, like, from... I would say one of the new ones, though.
A pro?
Yeah, iPad Pro.
I can't abide this because I understand that you did travel to the future to Tokyo once in season 3, but you traveled there in the year, I think, 2017.
So it'd be an even better iPad.
No, Hing, don't fall for it. There's no Wi-Fi. You won't even be able to download apps.
Okay, I'll go with...
I also did say a creature. It shape changes to a creature.
Creature.
What about a capybara?
Ooh, I don't know what that is.
It's a giant rat that likes lemons and baths.
What kind of creature are you, Dave? I'll make it into Dave.
Yeah, make it into Dave.
Make a Dave. Make a Dave. Make a Dave. Make a Dave.
No, that's fine.
Have they met Dave?
No, but
I'm just guessing.
You can turn it into the tight class of creature I am. So you transform the body taker plant into a terrified dungeon master, who blinks into existence in front
and
of me.
What's funny though is himself.
But if a dungeon master in this world is somebody who like manages a dungeon, it's kind of a clerical position.
Yeah, it's a junior administrator.
Now, obviously, I just want to work out what this mechanically means for our D&D group, though. Because obviously, Dave, you're actually being the real D&D dungeon master for our show.
I didn't
show.
Say... That,
this is technically an NPC, so Ben should do the voice of this character, I think. Does that make sense? That makes sense. So, Ben, you're still the plant, but now you're playing a type of plant called the Dave, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. A type, not me.
Uh-huh.
Something representative of the kind of dignity that I bring to this show.
Yeah, and the plant says something like, "And so as we see a plant, once a mere plant, once an accoutrement to a jungle that once was in the world that we live in, now made horrible flesh into... a narrating being who will keep saying what he sees as he walks through life. Can it be that we are blessed to see such a transformation?"
And then I lay off him. Come on.
Ben, you once described Dave's narration style as a toilet rolling down a hill, which I've never forgotten. But... it's beautiful.
Scholars are going to look at this episode and wonder why that is their job, but they will, I think, identify this as the moment the dragon friends...
No, they're going to be like, "I did my PhD on you," the episode where Dave snapped and killed all of them.
Dave?
Yeah?
I throw my javelin at the Dave.
You
as it walks away.
Okay, well you...
I put the Dave out of its misery.
Well, you don't want to do that, of course, because as you would know, the polymorph spell, if they reduce to 0 points, they will go back to their normal form.
Oh!
But you can pin the Dave against a tree, and he has allergies, so it's very likely that you can just leave him to his own devices at this point. There's pollen everywhere.
Now, what happened to that little staff that I spied? Is it in Dave's throat? Do I reach my arm into Dave's, Dave's throat?
Yeah.
And pull out a staff?
Yeah, there's a magic staff in his throat. It's a big staff.
I don't do that. I just grab the Dave and I go, boop, on its tummy and back.
All
right. So you squeeze the Dave hoping to pop the staff out the mouth.
Yeah, yeah. like a cherry pip.
Yeah. Or like you're emptying some toothpaste.
Yeah. Mm.
Or killing a man.
Oh, like you're killing a man.
Yeah.
Very similar to killing a man.
Mm-hmm. Like killing a man.
A staff of dark Gulthian wood spat out. It is intricately both carved and grown, obviously, by an expert biomancer. And it seems, dare I say, to thrum with a potent magical energy.
Oh. The Dave is saying all of this as that happens. Yeah. <by her. laughs>
Thank you, the Dave.
And coughing a lot.
This is a very nice staff.
Yeah.
Can I do a little investigation?
You're a wizard?
Of it?
Yeah, you can.
I'm a wizard, yeah.
You forget that you're a
level.
Wizard.
We all forget I'm a wizard.
Level 8 barbarian, level 1 wizard.
All right, so what kind of perception?
No, perception or arcana. Yeah, perception. Make a little perception check.
All right, I got an 11.
No, you didn't. That's a 19.
You're doing great.
So you. This is a Gulthius staff,
ooh,
which is a very powerful magic user's staff. It amplifies magical ability and aptitude. It allows creatures of the jungle and plant-based forms particularly will bow and bend themselves to your will. It can bring the very life of those that you kill. It will rejuvenate you. And as a powerful wizard, it seems to call to you as if it's your birthright.
Ooh.
So congratulations. You have
Thank you
if you bonk someone
much.
On the head with that, do you get better?
You get the health points that you take from them come to you.
Oh, I'm so glad you got that and not him.
Hey, Filch.
Most of the weapons that I get are just like in a caretaker sort of situation.
I'll swap you the staff for the ham. You can do whatever you
want
to the ham.
You mean I can kiss that ham whenever I want?
You get full privileges.
Ah, shit, this is going to happen, isn't it?
You can... You can go to town on the ham.
I got it. You know, I just don't trust myself to eat, not eat the ham.
You can eat the ham as much as you want.
I couldn't eat the ham. That's our friend.
Well, no, it was our friend. Now it's a ham.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I appreciate it, but I simply must decline because, like the staff, you also hum with an evil energy. And I just feel, after knowing you for so long, that I simply could not give that to you. Nope, I will be keeping this. Thank you very much.
Okay, so you have the Guthia staff. Congratulations. And you make your way quickly through the jungle, it growing ever more wet and wretched all the time, until eventually you burst through the foliage.
Sorry, just in the meantime, Byron's like, gosh, we really bloody did it, guys, didn't we? You know, all of us together and, you know...
What were you doing?
Actually, yeah.
What were you... I was obviously having a great time, but, you know, Bobby, you came and you
with
you
the strength of a
me.
Mother.
There was the burning hands.
I saw that Bobby boy. Yeah, that was pretty wild. We effed that guy up, didn't we?
A lot of pollen in the air. What were you doing?
What were you bringing to the table, Byron?
I was on support there, you know, just there with my... Watching. You know when you know when somebody's skipping and you're sort of waiting to go on, and there wasn't an opening. But
that's real
scientist
talk.
What?
Yeah, sounds like you're a fucking scientist.
Oh, look, I just didn't.
Just watching, observing, taking notes.
I didn't want to get under your feet.
Guys, Baston pulls the dragon friends aside and be like, "Look, he wants to be an adventurer." I know. Don't lie. I know it's not gonna happen. All right, but just let's. Let's humor him. Let's make him feel part of the gang. You know.
All right.
Let him push something over or yeah, like stab a plant.
Hey Byron.
Yeah, guys.
You want to punch me in the face?
No.
Okay. You sure?
Yeah.
You don't want to hit me?
Nope.
Okay.
You don't want to be an adventurer?
Is that what?
Oh, sure. Yeah. We punch each other in the face all the time.
And he just punches Friezo as hard as he can.
Right, well, I guess you make an unarmed strike.
That's a 10.
Okay, you miss Friezo. Friezo is standing still and Byron, and not armored, I have to say, mm-hmm. wearing basically, I think, Elton John's outfit from
Oh, yeah.
Still?
I think you're wearing the rhinestone baseball outfit.
Yeah.
So he swings, he misses, and he goes, "That one was a freebie, mate."
And he goes, "Forget?"
No, he just goes...
So you want me to hit you now?
Well, I think, it looks to his dad. Looks back.
No, this is bullying. I don't like this.
Look, we don't know. Look, it's not... This was a test and you fucking fucked it, man. You failed. You don't punch each other, you punch the bad guys.
You just talk...
To be fair, he's a little bit of a bad guy.
Yeah,
that is true.
That was the vibe I was getting.
Yeah, good instincts.
I can see how that would have been confusing. All
right, guys, let's go!
Okay.
One thing I can do is track this dragon and it's gone that way, so let's just go
Oh, and how helpful has that been?
Oh my goodness.
Where would we be without young Byron?
Thanks, little buddy.
That way. So
which way now? I'm lost.
Oh, well, you know, you got to look at the sun. There's singeing through the jungle, like, almost like a kind of like Wile E. Coyote like outline in the foliage. Of, like, a dragon.
An incredibly depressing interlude later, and you find yourselves breaking your way through the foliage to a ruined tower that until you stumble upon it, you would not notice it. So dense is the vine and leaf work around you, and you can see that this tower at the third story has broken apart. The top of it has fallen off as the canopy has risen up to meet it. This is clearly a Netherese Magi Tower, Tower of the Magi, a center of control through which the Netherese Empire wrought its will upon the freeborn who live in this land.
Gosh, we made it to the tower.
Wow, good job, Byron.
Couldn't have done it without Byron.
Well,
no,
guys,
Byron.
It's a team effort, obviously. Some did more than others. Like lazy bones over there.
Well, the thing is,
what'd
Byron,
you call me?
Oh, no.
What'd you fucking call me?
It's not... I said,
again.
Oh, lazy bones over there, because I was doing all the navigating and...
How many spell slots do I have, Dave?
Well, I think you've had a short rest. You've got all of them.
No.
Myron's a creature, right?
in many ways, Hing, we are all creatures. So.
No, guys. I'm sorry. I was trying to do some adventuring banter.
Oh yeah. You have to earn that.
Sure. Well, okay. Sure. Yeah. Your mom's dead. Oh.
No, that's fair. I'll cop that. That's a fair.
She died 2 days ago.
It's all fun. It's the lads.
We're not very good at banter.
Sorry.
Generally speaking, the dragon friends, we don't really spend a lot of time having conversations with each other, to be honest.
Let me tell you.
But Byron, you're actually quite surprised because this tower shouldn't be here. Years ago, your godfather, Strahd, had cleared this land of all of the towers of the Magi. They had burnt the Netherese footprint on this land and reclaimed it for themselves ever since the fall.
Must have missed this one. Got to tell him. But yeah, this will be good. This will be a good little fact-finding mission as also.
But also, even though you didn't find it, this one seems to be deserted. As I said, the top of it has been knocked off. Yeah. It's being already reclaimed by the jungle, and there is none of the traditional guards that you would expect.
No, it's completely, and maybe this is something that we can name after.
Does the charring of the bush and the forest go all the way to the tower?
Yeah.
You can see tracks leading right inside.
Gosh, it looks like there's a dragon in there. Hey, Byron.
Yeah, no, this is good. And maybe we can,
But Byron, you know, there's always something I've never got to do with my father.
Uh-huh.
That I'd just love to do with you. I think, we could just climb some stairs together. I never got to do that with my dad. Well, we did, but it was...
You never climbed... You never...
Not that I remember, no. Not that I remember. Look, there's stairs for you and me. It could be different for us.
Yeah, Dad, that sounds really...
This is going well, don't you think?
I think it's...
You say you're feeling supported?
Yeah, I think it's a process.
Your mother totally replaced now?
What?
The void filled. Absolutely and completely.
Can we go into the tower now?
All right, let's do that.
Byron looks at you oddly and walks up into the tower. The first to climb the stair is anybody else going in who's...
Oh,
I'm right here with you, son.
I feel like we should let them have their moment.
Yeah, we're outside.
We're going to give them some space. You go on ahead. Me remember the first stairs I climbed with.
All right, so Baston and Byron are exploring the tower.
Do you think we can count as we go?
The stairs?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of a good reason why not to do that.
Okay. Well, you
Sorry, is this something that people do with their parents where you're from?
Yeah, you teach your children to count.
I'm 25.
You keep saying that. I don't know what it means.
How old are you? I think I'm like 5 years younger than you.
Is it because Baston never climbed stairs with his dad, so he never learned to count?
Also, how old is Baston?
It's possible.
How old is
how
Baston?
Is everyone?
Like 28. He's probably older than...
I think Baston is like 36, 37.
Yeah, okay, makes sense. No. He's been doing this for a while now.
Yeah. He wasn't when he started.
Yeah, that's true. He's old now.
But I will...
Haggard.
He was a promising 29-year-old actor when he started.
Now he's washed up.
He was just starting
down.
A theatre school, I
he's
think.
He's lost an eye. He's got an irreparable wound in his gooch.
He's gone through changes.
Now, Dad, these towers used to be run by the Magi. I don't know how much you knew about them.
They were painted gold. They had a lot of faces. They had like...
No, you've done this podcast. You know who the Magi are.
They were the Magian, but yeah.
Oh,
no,
yes.
No, but yeah, big deal for the free folk. These magic users, getting rid of them. So I don't know what this tower was up to, Dad, but obviously like staffed by maybe a dozen or so of those guys.
But they're all gone now.
Well, yeah.
No. Make an investigation check to see.
Who's
Because you're already up.
18.
Okay. You notice a couple of things. First of all, you investigate the walls and you can see that there is a beautiful mural which is now already being destroyed by vines creeping up it. And you push some of them aside and you can see that underneath, in an epigraph, it says dedicated to the raising of the Tower of the Dean. which is written underneath the mural. The mural is of Ilana shining in the high in the sky. But the other thing that you notice as you indicate for Byron to come and see is that what you thought was a pile of rags underneath that mural is in fact the dead and twisted body of a dead mage, a Netheris mage. Who?
How dead?
Quite dead.
Like desiccated dead, bones
like
dead.
Bones, mostly bones, reclaimed by the jungle. It's all very unpleasant.
And Byron has like never seen a corpse before.
No? Except for his mum.
Except for his... Oh, yeah, okay!
Fuck!
And so he tries to do like a... Dad didn't die well, but he just says, Dad.
Oh, hey, son, I want to show you something fun. And while he's spewing, turned away, Basta goes and gets the skull and's like, hey, what's wrong, little fella? Feeling a little sick.
And Basta and Byron goes, ah!
Okay, well, that's happening. The rest of the dragon friends, Bobby, Friezo, and Phil, you are all standing outside.
I'm going to do an investigation check to see if I can sense any dragons in the area, Dave.
Yeah, make a survival check for
me. Survival check? That was a 14.
Okay, you're looking and you notice that beyond the tracks
15, actually, sorry,
that 15. Byron has led to you, you can see scratch marks that lead all the way up the side of the tower, which is ruined, jagged, and broken down, going up to the third floor along the outside of the tower, which, as I said, is already exposed to the elements. It looks like lots of small, possibly draconic creatures. There's singed wood along beams that are exposed at the side of the tower, as if lots of things have made this space their home.
Oh, so it's a little nest of many dragons.
And it looks like it culminates on the third floor where the tower ends.
And we need to get up there and get an egg.
Have we ever made a plan?
Sometimes we talk about it too much and then we don't actually... But the thing is, between deciding on the plan, executing on the plan, often some of us...
Dead time.
...forget who to...
Yeah.
I cast flight, go get egg.
I mean, are we thinking this dragon can be sitting
on egg? I cast
flight,
go get egg.
So while you're having this existential problem, Phil... Friezo very efficiently casts flight on himself.
Go get egg.
And floats up onto the third floor and makes an investigation check for me.
Ooh, that's a nat 20.
Look at that. We're just full of nat 20s tonight, guys. Must be those new fake dice I bought you.
and a
perception check as well.
Oh, God. So I succeed at one thing. I've got to do another one. Fine. Not as good. That's
when you
perception.
Succeed at one thing, you should never have to do any other thing after
ten
that.
Ten in total.
That's how capitalism works. So,
10 in total.
10 in total, yeah. Bobby, what are you doing at this moment?
That's just me and Phil hanging down there.
All right, cool.
He go get egg.
Yeah.
I cast flight, go get egg.
Yeah.
Shouting down.
It's crazy how like 24 hours ago we were at a party.
Oh, yeah, that feels like longer time ago in time stuff.
Yeah, but it feels like... Just waking up in your arms.
Well, I mean...
Are we going to talk about that?
Why?
Look, I don't want to like be the guy who's like, oh, well, we have to talk about this. We have to unpack this. It's really important that it doesn't fester and... I don't know what happened. I just want to make sure nothing happened.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anything happened.
Look, all I'm saying is I shouldn't be able to summon the strength of a mother lifting a car above her, toddler, to save you.
Maybe you just really hate horny plants.
That must be it.
Don't overthink it.
Okay.
You mean you feel different?
No.
Same.
Great.
Can we go back to the tower, Dave?
Yeah, let's get there real quick.
Hey, look, son, look, I'm eating my own ass. Rom, rom,
rom, rom. Dad, I'm a
stupid mage and I love to eat my own ass.
Dad,
rom, 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 rom.
Dad, listen to me. Stop it. I need you to stop doing that right now.
Yes, we don't like that. It says a voice down the corridor and passed on.
Thank you.
Do you think the phrase, son, I'm eating my own ass, has ever been uttered before by a real father to a son?
You look down the corridor, and so entranced you were in your little performance that you haven't spotted what looks like a figure wrapped in moldy, rotten bed sheets who is walking towards you, emaciated, wispish, and grey, but their eyes burning as they stare at you. A wizened, horrible little old man.
Yuck! Don't point those wizened little things at me. Yuck. All right, where are the eggs?
I'm afraid that I can't tell you any of this. Were you just...
I wasn't doing anything. What he was doing was shameful.
And he turns to Byron and he says...
No, not Byron, him. I mean, well...
The fallen brother? Is that what you're saying? The fallen brother was
I
doing?
Saw him eat his own ass.
Why?
Why would he? Exactly.
We are not happy with this. Why would you...
Is this a real deception? Do I need to make you roll for this?
Look, I'll fucking roll it. Here we go.
Yeah, DC fucking 700.
Yeah. Well, luckily, I got a 7. So, no problemos. I throw the skull at him.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, all right. No, go for it.
Skull attack.
You throw the skull at him. You have a chance to yell something to Byron if you want as well.
3. Look, I don't like... I miss, okay? I got like 14.
Yeah.
And I say, this is adventuring, son!
So, yeah, Byron will step up and put his sword up to the weirdo.
Okay, this means that a fight automatically breaks out because you've thrown a skull at him.
Oh. Well, I didn't do shit, but
only,
yeah.
Only if he retaliates.
No. Yeah.
It takes two to tango.
It's a stabbing if he doesn't retaliate.
Exactly.
No, but he does retaliate, so...
Well, why? Why would he do that?
Because,
good question, Dave.
Because you attacked him with the skull of presumably his friend.
Well, if he's upset about that, then that's fine. But I just threw a skull and I didn't even hit him. That could have just been emotion.
This is a weird type of gaslighting and I'm not... I'm not into
I'm
it.
I'm just asking, Dave, have you thought about this character's motivation?
Yeah. Yeah. You threw a skull at him and you said this.
I feel like things are getting quite heated here.
But I didn't
Aiden,
hit him.
Do you want to just do a deception check to see if you deceive Dave?
Okay, yeah.
It's 15, Dave.
Dave, you believe what Aiden's saying.
I would love to say that, but unfortunately, Dave is tied up 400 feet down the path. Dave is not involved in this conversation. I am. And... You know,
wait, which Dave is here, Dave?
You throw a skull at him, it misses because you rolled a 7, and he spins around and tries to attack you. But Byron, you get a chance to go first if you want.
Byron's going to just run at him. Real like fucking berserker stuff.
Yep.
He's full of wanting to impress his father. And I think wanting to impress your father gets you advantage. I haven't read the player's handbook in a while, but I think that is one of the things that they say gets you advantage if you want to impress your dad.
Yes, yeah. It's called risk of disapproval.
So I'm going to roll 2 dice. I'm going to go ahead and do that, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going to pay attention to the first one, but you go for
it. Well, if I roll them at the exact same time, you'll be forced.
It's a 2 and a 2.
There has never been a better metaphor than a comedian's relationship with his son. It's fun. It's fun.
All right, Byron rushes forward and he seems to almost effortlessly, for the age of the man, he grabs a hand, he rips him into a bear hug, and soon he has his claws at Byron's neck as he pulls...
You can't try and stab us.
...a knattered old wand out of his hand and he casts a spell at you, Baston.
I refuse.
I don't consent!
He casts Cone of Cold. Make a constitution save for me, quickly.
Oh,
my penis.
No! 7!
All right.
No, it's...
Did you really roll 11. 7?
11.
11. No, forget that. All right, you take 6 plus 3 is 9. 16, 19, 21 points of damage.
Oh, now my nipples are hard.
Now,
fuck
while
yeah.
that... You hear a bastonic scream from outside the two of you, Bobby and Phil. You can race up the stairs. If you want, Phil,
yes.
You got a chance to act first.
Can I use my Agulthius staff?
You can, but the moment you climb up the stairs, you see him holding by the neck the figure of Byron.
You can't hurt us. You can't do it. You're not allowed.
Why not?
You're not allowed to hurt us.
Who are you?
We are everywhere. We all heard. All who heard. You can't hurt all who hurt.
Oh, a bonky.
All right, you hit him with a stick.
A bonky with a stick.
All right, great, make an attack.
I hate it when someone tells me that I can't hurt them.
Historically, it hasn't been the case. All right, congratulations, you hit them, which means that you do 9 points of damage and regain 9 hit points if you'd lost any hit points from the pollen.
Yummy, yummy.
As your blood is infused with the power of the Gulfia's staff. And the next one up is you, Bobby.
So this is the same, this is the one old man?
Yeah, one old man, but he's clearly a magic user, got a wand in his hand.
I'm going to cast Mind Spike.
Go for it.
Yeah, right in the mind.
That's 11 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
He has to
make a save,
a wisdom save.
Wisdom 11.
All right, he rolled a 10.
Okay, so 11 points of damage.
Is that it?
Yep, and then...
It just spikes, he's got a headache now?
He gets that damage, and also
Nerfin.
I know where he is for the next hour. Which is one of those sweet bonuses.
Okay, all right, great, you know where he is for the next hour, and Baston, you get one more action.
I'm going to charge in and do a flurry of blows because I want to get my son free.
All right, as you do, you race forward towards him and you start attacking him?
Yes. Yes. Obviously, what's his armor class?
12.
Yeah, I got 3 hits,
mm-hmm.
which is 9 points of damage.
Really?
No, 12.
12 points of damage.
Yeah.
Okay, 12 points of damage. He's still alive in that case. So despite the pummeling and all of you, he has his claws at Byron's neck, and now it's his turn.
He says, "Hey, Dad, I'm pretty scared. Just FYI, I know I'm not meant to be, but I'm pretty freaked out right now.
Is this still adventuring?
Yeah.
Well, try and get free. You're just letting him hold you.
I'm trying, Dad. I'm not strong.
You didn't consent to this.
And
this
he rips,
wrong.
And his claws go through Byron's neck, and as a non-lethal slash at his neck, he takes...
You're bleeding. Don't let him make you bleed.
19 points of damage. You are now bloodied, Byron. You have lost half your hit points.
No.
But it is now your chance, so quickly make for me a strength athletics check.
That is a hot one.
Okay, you drop your short sword. Your short sword clatters to the ground in front of you, your very short sword. And the next one up is Filge.
Okay, so I want to try and distract... this mage.
Just kill him. Kill him. Kill him.
With death. Yeah, I want to try and distract this mage with death.
All right.
The ultimate distraction.
How are you feeling?
In many ways.
He's attacking your friend.
I'm feeling really quite put out.
As a barbarian, you're feeling...
Yeah, I'm feeling...
Saw your friend's son be gouged in the neck.
And you know what? That I was so relieved that it was non-lethal, but at the sight of my friend's son's blood, that turns me into a red-hot rage.
Every time you use this thing that you are absolutely allowed to use, you do it like it's a con.
Like you're tricking me. All right, extra attack. Congratulations, because your friends, you make 2 attacks.
All right, and should I... what has more power, my new staff?
Definitely
or...
your huge, giant warhammer, but I love that you're using the staff.
Oh, we like new things. All right. And does the what? Does my staff
the
cast
Thunder's
spells?
Wake uses 2d8 plus 6 bludgeoning damage. This does d6 plus 4.
Okay, well, if you'll do the math, I'll use Thunder's Wake. All right, natural 20.
Holy shit!
Oh, shit!
Holy shit, that's 2 natural 20s!
What happens?
Oh! Fuck!
I am... Oh, my...
That has never happened!
That is a 1 in 400 chance!
Look at this little... Look at him!
Come for the D&D, stay for the mathematics!
Holy moly!
Is that a 100? I mean, if anyone's going to know, it's this... Yeah. 1 in 400.
Woo-woo. Who's got a horrid little plant stiffy now?
Oh, but wouldn't also 2 twos be a 1 in 400?
Yeah.
And you cunts didn't clap for that.
But how come we get 2 twos all the time and we never get 2 20s?
Yes. We don't get 2 twos.
Confirmation
all the time.
Bias,
Confirmation
baby.
Bias. Yeah.
That's not real.
All right.
Yeah, think of all the times you've seen it not be real. That was a good joke.
Filge, I'm just trying to think of what a double critical does. Filge
rips his dick clean off.
Filge, you race forward quicker than anyone can see. You snarl, your eyes go red as he scratches at Byron's neck, and suddenly the air shimmers, and then he explodes in blood as until you are standing in his place with your hand on Byron's shoulder, and you very gently put Byron down, push down until he's sitting on the ground, and then you look down at the gore and mess that is on the floor underneath you, and you spot a spell book. That is weirdly written in a language that you've understood, the language that you got taught.
Goblin?
Yes. Yeah, this was didn't I say it? This was a goblin mage. This
was
a wizened goblin mage.
Gimme.
Congratulations.
Gimme.
You're doing really.
See these spells?
Yeah.
These bullshit little baby spells?
Yeah.
Shove them up your ass, Dave, and give me some new good spells.
Well, I guess technically.
And thank you for the spell book.
Baston's gonna go and he's gonna put his arm around Byron in the little pool of guts and be like, good job, boy.
And Byron, to be honest, kind of shrugs him off a little bit.
Good job.
Hey. Fair enough.
Thanks, Dad.
Good job.
And in a silence, properly commiserating the death of what is possibly the last living age, Netheri's mage, there is a groan and a gasp. And you see something horrific, because the body of the mage, thrown in a wet, pulverizing like cloud, has groaned and shifted, broken but barely alive as it tries to wheeze in the corner of the room.
The chorus, we all heard it, you know. We all heard the blank note.
What are you talking about?
You can lean forward to hear if you want.
Wait, I'm just talking to his atoms right now?
No, so it looks like a cloud of blood, but the body was actually thrown to the side of the room and is completely broken and pulverized and dying.
Oh, what is the blank note?
Filch takes out a little notebook.
Licks her finger, gets a new page.
The roar that sounded through time.
Yep. One sec, sounded through time.
I didn't think.
The roar. Now, is that going to be spelled R-A-W or R-O-A-R?
R-O-A-R.
Okay.
I didn't think.
The roar. The roar that sounded through time.
Yeah, you've got all of that?
Yeah. Okay. And you said something else about.
Visibly fading.
A brown note?
No, the blank note.
The blank
note.
This
is like playing Elden Ring.
It showed us the truth. It showed us the way. They couldn't hear,
and he's gesturing to the corpse of the guy.
This is a cloud of blood gesturing.
No, he's like.
No. The cloud of blood was what was replaced in the space with him when he was thrown.
You know when
the wall.
Wile E. Coyote?
Yes, it's a Wile E. Coyote thing.
Gets biffed across the room, and there's a dust cloud of Wile E. Coyote.
That's but blood.
But Wile E. Coyote is over there and he's broadly fine.
Yeah, blood coyote.
Yeah.
Oh, so the blood coyote's still there, but the
actual coyote. No, it's not there anymore.
All right. Okay.
And when does it turn into a ham?
He's gesturing to the corpse that Baston was defiling.
They couldn't hear. They couldn't hear the note.
He was eating his own ass. That's probably why.
So busy riffing, she misses the only clue you're trying to give her.
Couldn't hear the note. Yeah, couldn't hear the note. Anything else there, buddy?
Do you know, I really thought that.
And he dies. He's pissed off and he dies and you don't get the clue.
I got the gist.
But at the same time, something worse happens because the silence is broken a second time. As thundering down the stairs above you, you suddenly see the figure of a young, disheveled human warlock who is racing down the stairs, clutching in his hands a giant red egg.
Cast flight, got egg, we go.
And behind him, snapping and clicking in the air, racing behind him, are three red dragons, young, proud, ready to defend their home as you race out of the Tower of Erdene.
Can I say just a little detail that Byron like kind of staggers up next to Friezo as they're running down the stairs, and he's looking up at Friezo and he's going like, 21, 22, 23, 24.
And picture, if you will, in the Tower of Erdene, last known bastion of the strength of an empire that once toppled giants, an empire now fallen, decayed, the end of the first age and the beginning of the second, something new, something broken, inside the steaming jungles of the Valaki Gorge, four adventurers and a junior adventurer, possibly a ranger, possibly someone who's learning to count stairs, already racing into the undergrowth, some kind of dragon egg in their hands with squeaking, squawking baby dragons chasing them through, back towards civilization, back towards Laroon's Landing, back towards the cold cell engines that brought them here, and back towards what hope there may still be to bring them back to the Third Age, where they belong. Time is a circle, time is confusing, and time may yet run out for those adventurers we call the Dragon Friends. Thank you!
The Dragon Friends are Alex Lee, Eden Lacey, Simon Greiner, and Michael Hing. Our Dungeon Master is Dave Harmon, with NPC voices provided by Ben Jenkins and special guest accompaniment by Scott Edgar of Tripod. Shikara Khan is our producer. The podcast is edited, mixed, and mastered by me, Hugh Guest, and new episodes are recorded live every month at the Comedy Store in Sydney on Gadigal land in the Eora Nation. This show is made possible by the members of the Dragon Friends Patreon, who get early access to all episodes as well as exclusive content every other week. Until next time.
Make 100 mistakes and make 100 more. But don't worry, because that's what time travel's for. You can always go back
and try again.
And if you go back
and kill your friends,
you can always go back.
Extra few seconds.
You can always go back.
Okay, this is obviously on me, but there is a lot of drawings of very horny plants in these books. Thank you so much for everybody who drew us art, be it the Comedy Store completely covered in sombreros, many horny plants, so many big titty plants, plants sucking themselves off. The Stussy S for some reason. The amazing stuff. This is awful. This is obscene. I hate it. Just a flower. It was at this point, and so many of these are obscene. I can't show them to you. But somebody has got a real sort of je ne sais pipe sort of distillation. It's just a daisy that says I am horny. So, well done to that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.